everyone for listening to Thank You For Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, the podcast in which we watch an episode of The Golden Girls and we break it down scene by scene. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today, and I'm Mary Greenfield.
We have Mary Greenfield. Yay.
Yay.
And per usual, we don't tell our guests we're going to introduce them because we just forget. And so they introduce themselves. So that's a tradition for this show. Don't worry, Mary.
Guys, we'll Perfect. Introduce you.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Exactly Mary how can I introduce plan that herself.
She doesn't need anybody to introduce her. She can just do it herself. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Preferably while someone else is preferably while someone else is talking like a professional.
How are you, Mary?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be here. I love your podcast and I like Aww. And I love you guys as people, so. And I have not watched, that's probably the first Golden Girls episode I've watched since I want to say the 1990s.
Wow.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, wait. That's totally not true because I lived with a man who used to be in the Marines and he would go and train people. He would
be Golden Girls?
He would. He would train them to be Golden Girls and then he'd come back and explain. No. He actually.
He trained
would,
the Golden Girls.
He trained armies of Golden Girls. No, he would be like with one of those like boot camp training things after he got out. So He would go to along Lake Michigan and Chicago, and he would yell at rich people for a while and make them run up and down the beach, and then he would come home while I was leaving. Yeah, he was a really sexy guy. While I was leaving, he would sit in our living room and giggle the Golden Girls episodes.
So maybe that's
to, like, unwind.
Yeah, he would. He would unwind with that Dolly Parton songs and the Golden Girls episodes. I love that guy.
He's like, I spent all day screaming at people. I need to watch the Golden Girls
in a really
Girls.
Butch voice, and now I get to come home and be myself. So,
that's so cute. If only the people knew what was in his eyes. Like, just...
well, I mean, he wasn't in the closet or anything, so I think they all. But yeah, he wouldn't talk about episodes while he was trying to get them to do crunches and stuff. But
So he was out of the closet?
Oh yeah, totally. He was out of the closet.
Okay. For some reason, I thought that this was a guy you were dating.
Oh no! We were living together as roommates.
Oh okay.
So
all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
I should have.
I imagine. I thought like you
no,
would kiss
we're
him.
Married.
In,
Why? I
thought,
I don't.
I thought
understand.
You would like kiss him in the forehead as you went to work and he watched Golden Girls.
Oh
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
I kind of thought that too, and I just thought, oh, okay, that's why you guys broke up. All right. Cool.
Oh no, he's my husband. He's my husband, and we've just never slept together.
We have an agreement.
We have an agreement. Yeah. Wink. It's for the tax deductions. So
yeah, you dress up as Dorothy while you're at home.
I do dress up as Dorothy, not in any cosplaying thing, just because of my terrible fashion sense. But
just aesthetically, as a person, you're like
just aesthetically.
I am Dorothy as fashionable as fashion wise.
We all like tunics, guys.
I do wear really long jackets that cover my butt.
So
but,
we always ask our guests. What's the Golden Girls background that you kind of seeped into it? Is there anything else you would like you that we don't know about your Golden Girls background?
I believe that Whit Thomas also did soap in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm,
and my grandmother used to watch that show a lot. And so there was a period of time where the only way I could sleep, I had really, really bad insomnia, and the only way I could sleep was by playing episodes of soap because the music would make me feel so nice and nostalgic. So it's almost like Golden Girls is like a sister to that. Like I didn't watch it as much, but I do get, you know, like you hear the same kind of music at the beginning and you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh,
so
totally.
I do have a lot of nostalgia for, and I did babysat, this was while it was on television, I babysat a girl, it's like 6-year-old girl. I wasn't that much older than her, but she was running around the house like singing that song, which is so weird that this girl loved Golden Girls.
The theme song is really great.
It's
yeah.
fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about how I didn't. Like I was babysitting this little girl.
Well, how old were you when you were babysitting her?
Oh, gosh. I want to say like
7.
Maybe. Yeah. I was 4.
10 years old. Look, I was a toddler.
I was literally a baby. Just sitting there.
I was sitting on her. I don't know if I specified that. It's my
baby
first memory.
Dressed in tunics.
Yes, all right. I looked exactly like B. Arthur at 16 months old.
B. Arthur.
Aww. Oh, dude. I see what you did there.
If they had, man, we can all
see that. What if they had Golden Girl babies? Wouldn't that be a great show?
The baby, like Muppet babies?
Yeah,
only with
but
the
with
Golden Girls?
That'd be so
golden
cute.
Golden babies
that make your dreams come true.
No, why can't we just have a television show about women who are mature without wanting them younger, Anthony? Jeez.
Because they look so cute.
Yeah. Only if they were, I would only like that show
no,
if they were
but they're
voiced.
Still like old somehow, like, but they're just wearing diapers.
Well, they would have to use the original voices. They should just make babies and animate their mouths with Golden Girls dialogue.
Yeah.
And I would watch that.
Like the TV show, like dialogue, but animated
where
Golden Girls.
It's just babies.
Yeah.
Oh, but then you get into weird areas with Blanche.
Oh, I know. With
no, but I think that
Blanche,
makes it better.
Why?
Blanche having sex with like dudes, and she's like a baby.
We are. I don't know about you guys, but I'm 100% against babies having sex, even if it's consensual. What is up? They're not ready. This is off to a great start, guys.
Oh my god. But
we
but
have a stark
also...
disagreement on golden babies.
but so. every now and then in Golden Girl Babies, you would see like animal that's just ah, rah, rah.
What? Like a golden baby girl or a golden baby animal?
Like animal from the Muppet Babies.
Oh, animal.
Yeah.
Right. He'd make a guest appearance. It'd be like a crossover episode.
Animal would just comment on things.
I thought you meant like baby tigers, which were in the American furnishings.
Yeah, we had a commercial that it was American furnishings, and they appeared to have gift certificates, but just for tigers.
They just had a picture of a baby tiger next to. We have gift cards available. Why the tiger though? I don't know.
It was bizarre. So if you're watching this in the Phoenix market and on Hulu and don't have the commercial free option, as I do not, you may see that commercial.
And 4 of you will get that joke.
I'm so jealous you didn't. I did not get to see that. So we watched a two-parter. And this is one of the last episodes of the series.
Really?
Unfortunately.
This is the second to last, actually. We got our next episode's recording our finales.
Oh,
so
my God.
Yeah. So the next episode we're doing part 1 and 2 finale, but we're doing it separately. Nice. We're doing this one all in one, but the finales are going to be two separate live shows.
Nice.
Yeah, so this is our third to our last podcast for the series.
Oh, I'm so honored. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, yeah, Mary.
You're like, you were available.
Thankful. I'm just kidding. No, we're so thankful you're here.
I take back any disparaging remarks about your ideas about Golden Girl spinoffs.
Golden Girl Babies.
however uncomfortable it makes me. So
yeah.
it's a bit of an uncomfortable idea. We'll admit that. It's part of its charm, but
yeah.
Jeez. This is the part where everybody just tuned out because they heard me laugh like a hyena at that.
Oh no. They've heard me laugh for 3 years, so like
Yeah, they if they don't like us by now, they
yeah,
they... Go ahead.
I'm not gonna change. I'm sorry. I'm
good. Don't.
Yeah, we decided to just not be other people when we did this podcast. So too bad.
Right.
We watched we watched season 7 episode. Oh God, I didn't write what number they were, but I think
do they have titles?
I think it's 23
and 24. I think
23 and 24. This is a rare. Usually, when it's two parters, they come out on the same day. This one came out in two different days, a week apart. The first episode aired, which is really, really rare. So this one came out, the first part came out April 25th, 1992. And then the second part came out May 2nd, 1992. So people had to wait week. People had to wait a week to see if Rose was dead.
And we couldn't carry our phones around with us either. They were attached to walls.
So, I guess they wanted it to seem like they were going to kill off Rose at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, guys, they just, like, it's like a ratings kind of fucking plot, you know?
Yeah. It's pretty savage for NBC and, 1992.
Yeah. Just like, well, are we gonna kill off one of the Golden Girls?
Yeah,
it's quite like a play.
Like the Golden Girls didn't have scripts. Like they didn't have the script to the second episode. Like they didn't know.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Oh, like it's like some Game of Thrones shit.
Yeah, like Game of. Yeah, like even the actors don't know if they're gonna die.
Yeah, she didn't find out until right before she was filming that scene.
Yeah, they had
that would be really terrible.
They only had parts of the script while they were shooting.
The tell-all about how horrifying it was to work on the Golden Girls because you didn't know if you were going to survive that episode or not.
Are we going to come back as babies? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, Peter Dinklage is in there somehow.
Oh, man.
That would be great.
That would be awesome, huh? As a baby. Oh, Peter. Game of Thrones babies. Game of Thrones babies.
Oh, boy.
Will make your dreams come true.
Once again, so problematic.
Yeah,
so problematic.
Yeah, all shows.
We're going to let you sit with that one, Anthony.
Game of Thrones babies wouldn't work.
No, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Yeah.
Because of the nude scenes? Because the nude scenes? Okay. All right.
The nude scenes.
Obviously, I haven't watched Game of Thrones, so we'll move on.
Okay.
House of Card babies? I don't know. I'll go there.
Okay. Kevin Spacey's involved. It's okay because he's a baby.
Because he's a baby.
Oh, man. Too soon, Genevieve. Too soon.
I want to see a baby Robin Wright's haircut. That would be cute.
Yeah, that would be cute.
Yeah. I'm sure they exist.
These episodes are titled Home Again, Rose, Part 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And as we do with every episode of Thank You for Being a Podcast, Genevieve is going to do the synopsis for all the listeners who did not get to watch the episode with us. So, Genevieve, go ahead.
All right. So, Blanche's daughter, Janet, the one who hates her, is coming to visit and with her granddaughter. And she wants to find something to do. And at the same time, Rose gets a letter that she missed her high school reunion. So Blanche has the idea that all the Golden Girls will go to another high school reunion that is taking place in Miami because she missed hers. So, and apparently high school reunions are just interchangeable. So, so why not? We just go one to the other. So they all go to this high school reunion and turns out they all get caught almost immediately.
pretending to be people they're not.
And Blant, Rose is not feeling well. She says that at the beginning of the episode, and turns out she faints when they get caught at the high school reunion.
Mm-hmm.
So of course she goes to the hospital, and they want to keep her overnight. You know, they think she just needs some rest. But turns out she needs a triple bypass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she has a triple bypass, and
on screen, it's weird. Yeah.
It is in real time.
It's so weird.
Yeah, and her daughter Kirsten comes to visit, and at first she's kind of standoffish to the Golden Girls. She doesn't really understand their relationship and why they're there and why they care about Rose so much and want to see her. But you know, they're all in it together. You know, if something happens to Rose, they're gonna take care of, you know, yeah, they're gonna take care of each other. They're gonna take care of Rose. They're gonna make sure she gets physical therapy.
Right.
And well, Rose gets through the triple bypass. It's a little touch and go. Mm-hmm. She has a dream where they're all just heads. We'll get to that more later.
Yeah. And but, also, Blanche discovers religion.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. She makes a deal with God.
She makes a deal with God, and she has to keep it. And I think she sort of stays that way. She doesn't really, her character just sort of is still in God at the end of the episode, right?
She's toning it down, I think, maybe.
Yeah, or... yeah. And I think Sophia's just along for the ride. She's just, there's no Sophia subplot in this.
She has a 25-year-old's body.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she gets a 25-year-old's body
in the dream sequence. This is like the nicest. This is the nicest consistently that I've seen Sophia in the episodes that I remember. I mean, you know, somebody's in the hospital for a good portion of both episodes, so she's not a monster. But yeah, they were. You can kind of tell that they were wrapping up the series because they want you to feel good about how all of these women feel about each other and that they'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They had this where we made a pact. They brought up the pact at the from episode one, that no matter what, we're going to be here for each other. Yeah. And so that sort of comes back around.
Nice.
So great point. And
yes.
So
full circle.
We start with one of my favorite jokes of the episode. We're in the kitchen. Dorothy comes in and she's like, "Ma, you left the toilet seat up again." Yeah, and she's like, "Oh, good. I'm glad. I thought I was losing weight." She's been sitting on the toilet. Oh my God. Like on the toilet without the seat. That's so funny.
I do love that they never explain why she keeps lifting up the toilet seat. Yeah. Is it just an absent-minded thing that she was doing, or
I don't know. I think it was just something that afflicted women like in the 80s and 90s is toilet seats being left up. We couldn't put it down. We would just fall in.
We would fall in.
Yeah.
I heard a lot about it on a lot of comedian sets talking about how hard it was to keep it down.
It was a dark time for all of us. We lost many a soul.
So,
to those toilet seats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also airplane food.
Yeah.
Really bad back then.
Yep. Pantyhose.
So then Blanche is having a visit from her daughter Janet and Janet's daughter Sarah. Yeah. So both it was weird because both Blanche and Rose's most problematic daughters showed up in this episode. Janet has had issues with Blanche because she wasn't really there for her growing up. And so Janet sort of became like Blanche as a mother and blamed Blanche for that. Ooh. Janet. So
because
this is the first time we also see Janet. It's fucking crazy. Like, it's been 7 seasons and we just see Janet.
Wow, that was on for 7 years. That's crazy.
Yeah, and they've all had so many people visit them. It's pretty telling, like, how bad the relationship is. Like, I mean, I think how many kids does Blanche have? Like 4 or 5.
And you only see Janet? Do you see the other kids?
I think Janet has 3 brothers. I think. Mm. So she has 4 children. I think that's what I read on Golden Girls.
She had Rebecca or Becky.
Yeah.
And there were two Rebeccas, and right. Oh yeah. Okay. So maybe there's. I thought she had 4.
Huh. Right. Because she has a son, and her son's daughter was the girl that the one that was like hooking up with all these guys when she came to visit.
Oh yeah.
Her granddaughter?
It was that and there was the bad boy. There was the bad boy that came and visited.
Yeah,
as
that's
well.
David. That's also Janet's son.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and then Melissa, which was the girl pageant girl. That's also Janet's mom.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It's Janet's mom? Wait a minute.
Janet's... That's also Janet's daughter. I'm sorry. That's also Janet's daughter.
Okay. No, I was like, what is happening?
Thanks for catching that. Okay. So we've cleared.
It would be weird to find out that your daughter is not your own if you are a woman.
Right.
Yeah.
But
it's like, I was mistaken. That wasn't birthing.
And so they kind of only bring them in to show how much they don't like Blanche being with God. You know, there wasn't really a plot with those two.
Yeah, they didn't really, unless again, like, it's more wrapping up the series. Like, because both daughters kind of have a good relationship with their mothers and the other women by the end of the spoiler. But
right, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. But so maybe that's also more wrapping up the series. Like, okay, everything's going to be okay with the 4 girls that you've been watching for 7 years.
Yeah.
Right. Let's wrap this up in like 40 minutes, guys. Yeah. Like all these relationships.
let's resolve everything.
Yeah. And so the only time we see Kirsten, Rose's daughter, was when she came to visit to help Rose with her will. And she got mad at Rose because she had spent all of the money that her late husband left her. And so she was just mad because we thought she was mad. This is what we concluded, that she was mad because there was no money for her. Mm. And so that daughter has always been like just kind of a terrible daughter. The one time we saw her, you know, or whatever. Huh. Excuse me, I need a burp.
Yeah.
I was a little weirded out that they lean so hard on the Saint Olaf thing with Rose, and yet her daughter doesn't really display much, like, kind of farm country Saint Olaf characteristics. So
we brought that up every time it's so weird, every time like a relative like a offspring of Rose comes to visit, they're always like smart, logical people.
Yeah. Yeah, there is no Saint Olaf. It's all a lie.
It's become like a cosmopolitan burg.
Yeah. And she doesn't want her friends to know how much money she has or how rich. Yeah. she's KGB, so she has to make up Saint Olaf as a place where they never want to visit, never fact check. So yeah, it's a big cover. That was a big spy show the whole time, you guys.
Roses and the Americans. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Americans. You'll find out in the last episode. It'll be great.
The American babies. The American babies will make your dreams come true.
Okay. They should have a total 80s theme song for the Americans, like Full House, where it's just like a lot of drum parts.
Have the scene where the two babies, where one of the other babies removes the tooth of the other baby without anesthesia.
His first tooth, and he gets it removed in some sort of...
I love all of this.
He has to do it, because he can't go to the cops.
You're the one in LA, Anthony. Make this all happen. Some meetings.
I'll call them. I'll call the American reboot people. I'm sure there's reboot people.
That's their proper title, right?
Yeah. I'm a reboot person. Hello. How are you? What's your reboot idea?
There has to be at this point, right?
completely.
Yeah, they're the busiest. Rose has been kind of sick lately. Everyone's commenting, you look kind of pale, even though full makeup. You missed your high school reunion because you weren't feeling good. So you didn't go, and Rose kind of talks about how there's no you don't go to doctors in St. Olaf, right. And so Blanche suggests that they go to East Miami High School reunion, which East Miami High School just sounds like the fun high school, you know,
much more fun than West Miami High School.
Yeah, yeah, West is where the preppy kids are.
Yeah, they're not fun at all.
East is where, everyone got pregnant.
EMHS was a party school.
Yeah, East is probably on the beach. It's probably EMHS. On the coast, right?
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
You just know that they ate lunch outside.
Yeah. The Trojans were the best. That was their mascot, not the condoms, but that was the joke, and they got it at East Miami. West Miami was like, what? Losers. Sees it in the paper or something, and she's you can experience what you miss. Let's study the yearbook, and we'll all come up with. There's why would anything go wrong with that plan?
That's a lot of work to crash a reunion.
Where they went wrong is when they put on name tags. They should have just put
blended in.
Written in names that no one would know, and so they could just hang out and meet new guys. It seemed like they wanted to, single white female, like when they should have just be in completely new people, like in Wedding Crashers where they're just new people.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, so I think that was where they sort of crashed and burned.
And yeah, they should take a page out of Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, take a
movie that wouldn't be released for decades later.
Yeah. Get it together, people.
They did all of that homework, and then in the yearbook, they got a yearbook out of a library, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they went to a lot of trouble. And then Blanche accidentally chose the name tag of somebody who's homophobic. And was in high school and outed this guy and
the worst person ever
has a child that she hasn't seen since high school.
Yes.
It was really intense. They really heightened that far where it's just
sure.
Oh, you outed me, and then it's like you haven't seen your child since the 60s or something.
Yeah, I loved it. She was like, both times she was like, don't care.
Yeah.
Susan. I think her name was Susan. I'm pretty sure Susan didn't show up to her high school reunion because she's in jail.
Probably.
Yes.
Probably. They are Florida residents.
Yeah.
So
at best she's living some Carmen San Diego lifestyle.
She's
is Carmen Sandiego in jail?
I mean, she is a criminal. That is the premise of that show is she's a criminal and they're trying to find her using geography clues.
They're prepping kids to be
detectives.
Yeah.
Really, it's like it's a part of the initiative because nobody wants to sign up for the police force anymore. So
right.
So Carmen Sandiego is just like, let's start them early looking for criminals.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be found, guys.
No, she doesn't. She does a great job of not being found.
I'm sure Carmen Sandiego had a child and had someone else raise it because she's a badass. Yes. Yeah.
She's got that hat. She's got that special hat. She's definitely abandoned a child.
If she can pull off that hat, she doesn't need to raise a child, you guys.
Anybody who wears that hat is an asshole. So
yeah.
That checks out. A woman wearing a fedora is definitely going to abandon some kids. With her high school boyfriend's parents, not even check in on them. Yeah, I don't know. Don't do drugs, kids. Don't wear fedoras.
Don't wear giant fedoras.
Go hand in hand.
So Sophia is a dude. She's Myron Zucker, but yeah. Great joke, which is like, here, Dorothy. I think you can pass off as Myron Zucker.
Yes,
and yes. Then. Rose is King Fung Toy.
Kim Fung Toy.
So she's
put ethnic name, Asian ethnic name.
Yes.
Which could also be a boy's name.
That's true. Very true. They didn't know. They didn't check
in. A Korean boy.
Korean boy. And that's also where the episode really dates itself because she does a bad, like, stereotypical impression of what she thinks Kim would sound like to somebody else.
But she didn't. Betty White didn't go all the way with that. Did you notice?
She didn't.
She really
was a little bit embarrassed.
She held back. She's like, she didn't hold her fingers to her eyes. She didn't.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, Betty White knows a little bit better.
And she's worldly enough to know a lot of different ethnicities of people. Yeah. So she's like, I'm not going to piss off my Korean friends as much as I possibly would.
Run-of-the-mill panic racism.
Yeah.
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 We've all been there.
1980s. 1980s, folks. Stuff doesn't age well.
And then B. Arthur, Dorothy's character, was Cindy Peoples, the class queen. I was going to say clown. The class clown. No, the class. The home.
Like the prom. She was elected prom. Like, yeah, it was like a reunion prom. And they were. Yeah. And she was elected queen, and she was very. Yeah.
Let me ask you guys.
Yeah.
Did you guys? I have king and queens at your prom.
They.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they did.
Oh, they did at yours.
And and they also at. I only went to one of my reunions, but they did have. They also like had everybody vote while they were there for like
oh my
these.
God.
Yeah, because we never had like. I don't think in the high school yearbooks that we had like, hey, class clown and blah blah blah. I don't think we had that in high school.
We had class clown. I didn't place anything because I wasn't because you have to be a level of popular or know somebody in the yearbook club.
Yeah, I always love that.
Because everyone that got something, I'm like, oh, they're friends with that person in yearbook club. So this is just yearbook club people. Writing shit of people that they know, you know. Oh, that's your that's Melissa's best friend, you know. So I was like, this is bullshit.
I was friends with I think the yearbook editor in high school, and I knew that like by the time you got the yearbook, it was always just a bunch of pictures of the kids from yearbook, and because they like
They sometimes couldn't get other people's pictures. Sometimes they would, but there were a couple of years where you're just like, oh, there's another picture of somebody in yearbook class because they're can't, just doing yeah. it in class.
Yep, can't pull people out of second period. Yeah, so can't get that release.
Can't
so,
can't get that release.
Yeah, so it looks like we're taking another picture of Kevin.
Kevin's really popular. Yeah, it's a very skewed way to figure out who's popular, but. I wish I do wish I had known that I should have taken yearbook.
So I remember it looked like I was, but people in our yearbook club were like super annoying to me. They were just like,
they were annoying to you.
Yeah. They were like student council people that were just like, I need to be in control of all the labels of everybody in school and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, you guys are fucked up. And I was going to.
That's sinister.
And then when I got in,
they're in Congress now. It's what you're telling me.
That yeah,
they're senators.
Totally.
They're all Republican senators.
But
it all started in your book.
I was in a way cooler newspaper club, and if I didn't like somebody, I would misspell their name. I'd be like Charlene Gissenhofer.
So you were doing the same thing, only without pictures. You were just also being spiteful and controlling.
Right.
That was the best. I took yearbook in junior high, and it was like the most disorganized class. And we used to just look through old yearbooks and look for goofy people like 1986. used to go through and try to find the nerd.
Oh man. Yeah.
I'm sorry. We were bored. No. Give us something to do or we're going to get mean
on each other. Let's turn on people we'll never meet. Yeah. I have some truly, truly embarrassing yearbook pictures.
Really?
Uh-oh. Anthony, are you having a trouble bypass? Are you okay?
You guys.
Anthony, are you dying?
Go to a doctor. St. Olaf is bullshit.
Promise
Anthony,
me you'll
we'll
freeze
always be
your
there
hands.
For you. If anything happens to you, we'll always take care of
you. Always. We've made a pact at the beginning of this podcast.
You'll freeze your heads.
Sure.
So,
do that.
So it was kind of, the Golden Girls kind of got pulled in different ways. B. Arthur got kind of held hostage by a tarp business guy who was super creepy. I don't know why she thought he was hot or wanted to go with him. He was just like,
ooh. Oh, the tarp. Yeah. I think tarp, she was just, dude. Yeah. Yeah. She was like, hey, somebody is, I'm going to go off and see how this guy is.
Yeah.
I think she's even...
Well, I don't know. It depends on your perspective on tar. Like if you really need some commercial roofing done, like that's probably the dude you want to meet, I guess. Or a blacktop or
Cindy Peoples does not have time for a tarp businessman. Like or that kind of guy. Like
she doesn't.
So good for you, B. Arthur. And so and then, Rose just faints.
She grabs her arm.
Yeah.
Like she's having a heart attack.
They find them out. They're like, you guys are imposters. They're just like called out on their shit. Which also, by the way, that would be the best high school reunion to go to. You find imposters, and then one of them dies. Like one of them like is carried out in a stretcher. Like that's
it was probably the shock. It was probably the shock of being outed that, you know, those people they're practically killers. They could have killed Rose. So, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a 40th high school reunion. There's probably more than one person coming out on a stretcher.
Yeah.
That's just life in a retirement community.
Well, think about this. Like, people retire in Miami. So, like, people that... There would be, like, way more people at that high school reunion than any high school reunion. Because people are already in Miami.
That's why it's a big deal that Susan didn't show up. Because she's probably in jail.
Right.
In jail. Yeah. She's Cindy San Diego. Susan San Diego.
Susan San Diego, Carmen's less famous sister.
Her hat is a little smaller. She just can't live up to Carmen San Diego's hat.
Right, right. She can't. She can't find the right size for her head. So, yeah, and all of those people were Carmen San Diego trained, so they could sniff out an imposter.
Susan San Diego is in Bitcoin.
Yeah. All of those retirees in EMHS had watched a lot of Carmen San Diego with their grandchildren. So they were like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
I got to admit, I love Betty White, but the fall was not realistic. I think she was a little afraid of hurting herself. She went like, they showed her full body. She fell onto a step.
Yeah. There was a pretty cushion. Serious fall.
Man,
and
NBC.
She's like, and also, it's the end of the show. She's like, over it. She's like, all right, guys. This is the end.
Yeah, and then they write in that she has to fall down. Like, that's some passive-aggressive writing right there.
And so they're in the hospital waiting room. Mm-hmm. They have this... they have this thing with the nurse. The nurse won't let them... No, that's in the episode two. No, not mm-hmm. yet. So, okay. So Blanche, they're in the hospital waiting room, and Blanche prays to God for the first time in a long time. That kind of bargains with God, and it's like, listen, if you let Rose live, I won't have sex with men unless they really, really need it.
Right, right.
Which I love.
That's so great.
Such a great.
She has a whole thing where she's like, thank you so much for my beautiful body.
Yeah, right. And so much to be so grateful for.
My face that is both sexy and also innocent.
The innocence of a child or something. And if you spare Rose, then you may start the aging process with me. And one of my favorite jokes is B. Arthur just covers up Estelle Getty's mouth like, don't say it. Don't say it.
Yes.
Such a great visual.
That was so good. The covering of Sophia's mouth by Dorothy is always amazing. And then,
there's a lovely motif in the show. Yes.
Yeah. And then there's this doctor with kind of a, I don't know if he's excited or just anxious or just weird, but he's like, hey guys, like, you know, she's going to be fine. I'll come back. You can come visit her. Okay, you can come visit her. And then he's like, oh, by the way, I was just wondering, what's your name? Just like, are you okay? Like, is this doctor?
No, this doctor's not okay. He's a professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, he misdiagnoses Rose,
totally.
As we find out very soon after.
Yeah.
And almost wanted to send her home.
What did you say first?
She went into cardiac arrest episode.
I think they said a cardiac episode or something.
Yeah.
So like she just had a little problem with her heart and it's nothing serious and they're going to keep her overnight for observation. But then of course, you know, if Rose is going to promise never to have sex, she has to be tested on immediately and a doctor comes over to her. But yeah, it's like she's just, I guess he thought, oh, I guess now that everything's fine with your friend, I should totally mac on you and ask you out. And
not like still in shock, you know, can I take you out? Like, listen,
maybe he was crashing the hospital. Maybe he didn't get to go to the hospital for a friend of his. So he thought, oh, I'll dress like a doctor and pretend to be a doctor.
I noticed
at this hospital.
She got a new doctor in the next episode.
So he was very subtle.
He was a fake doctor.
It's all about frauds in this episode.
all about fraud. And then Blanche, So he says, I guess I don't really, really need to because you're a fucking doctor. Of course, you need to go take care of people. Like,
right.
Calm down.
Yeah, he asked her to dinner and she has to say he really, really needs to.
Why are you thinking about your dick right now? Like, you just saved someone or maybe I don't know what you're doing. And she's like, yeah. Blanche looks up at God. She's like, oh, you are a vengeful God.
I know.
Oh, Blanche. No, you dodged Blanche. A bullet.
Yeah, yeah, you could have dated a guy that would be riddled with malpractice suits. So
oh, yeah. That's a good yeah. thing. Bullet very dodged. Good thing. Then they're in the hospital room, and then this is the revelation, like, everybody needs to get their heads frozen moment. Yeah. Sophia wants to get an aptitude test to find out, like, I think that's her C plot. That's the C plot. Sophia wants to get an aptitude test, but then never does.
They mostly just had Sophia as support in this episode, just like emotional support.
She was Myron.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
she's Myron slash Mrs. Gonzalez.
Oh yeah.
Was I forgot about that.
Oh yeah, during the high school reunion, yeah, she played. She pretended to be the Spanish teacher, and she met up with a student that always had a crush on her.
Yeah, totally. I really wanted that to work out.
Yeah,
me too. He should have come back. She's like, I'm going to marry Kayla Turner this right now. I'm gonna marry Kayla, turn this around.
I love it. Yeah, she's so aggressive with him. She's just like, yeah, why? You're my favorite student.
Let's mambo. Yeah.
Let's mambo.
Yeah. Oh, man, Estelle Getty's so great.
She's so good. And then, so the next scene, they're... Janet and Susan visit, and Blanche is sort of like, Janet reminds me of like, her accent was obviously fake, but she reminded me of like,
bad actress.
She was a bad actress.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
I don't know. She seemed too young. Like, she's like a, yeah. Or maybe she's one of those, like, she reminded me of, she reminded me of? The Jamie Lee, whatever her name is from My Name Is Earl. Jamie Lee from My Name Is Earl.
Jamie Presley.
Right. Yeah.
Jamie Lee Presley. Oops. Yeah. Like kind of really, like rednecky, like.
So I gotta say, I think Jamie Lee Presley is like a really good actress.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Presley is fucking amazing, and she crushed it in that show. And if I ever met her, I'd be like, oh my God, you're the most amazing person ever.
I will say this, that somebody once said, oh, you know, that she does an accent that's not accurate to any region because she didn't want to offend anybody from any region. And I was just like, that sounds like the kind of thing I would say if I couldn't get an accent down. Yeah. If like I couldn't get my dialect to work, I would be like, well, I just don't want to offend any Scottish people.
Right. Yeah. I guess I have four lines, so I can just kind of fuck with this a little bit. She reminds me of like somebody that character from My Name Is Earl would fight in that show.
Yes.
The so really like, brown lipstick. The really brown lipstick kind of brought me back to the 90s and really distracted me a little bit, but
yeah. Yeah, like she would say.
And a little nondescript child actor. Like,
yeah. The little girl was so cute. I was like, where did this adorable come from? I was like, you guys leave her. Leave little girls alone. Don't put them little on TV. Susan.
Yeah, right? I have this theory because in Shakespearean times, they used to have like teenage boys play women. Mm-hmm. And it was just understood when people watched it that they were women. So I have a theory that we should just get only 20-year-olds, like adults, to play little tiny children on screen because nobody needs it. And it's so weird. I've known former child actors and it never, ever, ever works out well for their psyche. Like, I just, oh God, I worry about every time I see a kid on screen that young, I'm like, oh God, I hope your parents are okay.
And especially don't make the child say the words, I miss sexy grandma.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Wait a minute. So let me get this straight, Anthony. You're fine with babies talking about their own sex life, but you weren't okay with that 5-year-old girl saying she misses sexy grandma. Okay.
Because then in Muppet, in Golden Girl Babies, she would be a sperm. She would be... she'd have to be played by a vial of jizz.
You contain multitudes, Anthony. All right, it's okay. All right, I can see it because no, this is right. All in our imagination.
There is a flaw in my logic.
I think I feel a little bit better now because I think that in real life with real kids you do feel uncomfortable with that. So that's good.
Yeah,
really, that makes me feel a little bit better.
I'm glad that you realize that now, and I'm glad
this whole time for 50 minutes.
I'm glad
I've
that you
like...
realized it at all.
Sorry to admit. Golden Babies, not airtight.
Needs some work. Needs a couple drafts. That's all. That's all we're saying. Needs a couple drafts.
Regular Muppets were a little risque, but they.
Oh yeah.
I think if they would rewrite Golden Girl Babies to be more, I think, like Blanche would be Miss Piggy. You know, and just be glamorous and not slutty.
Yeah.
Just be like this, you know, that character like, kind of.
Yeah, she just, might wear a feather boa, but she doesn't go out and fuck
she
guys.
Doesn't like, have sex with other babies. Let's just make this clear for everyone listening.
Did you know that?
As opposed to the rusty anchor, but.
Did you know that they added Skeeter because they didn't want Miss Piggy to be the only female Muppet baby? Because they thought that would be weird.
Mm, it is weird. It is kind of a Smurfette situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they were like, well, we can't have her compete. Let's make her the sporty one. Okay.
I thought Skeeter was a guy. Wasn't Skeeter a guy?
Yeah, there was like Scooter and Skeeter.
Oh,
I think.
Scooter and
or
Skeeter.
Beaker or something. Because there was,
Skeeter and Scooter are sister and brother.
Oh, got it. Okay. Confession, I have never seen an episode of Muppet Babies.
Oh,
so,
really? Okay.
Yeah, I've never. I've only seen clips. So I think
you need to get on that.
I'm going to go right now.
Right.
The rest of the
that
podcast.
That might be our next podcast is a Muppet Babies.
Watch all the episodes and analyze them.
Right?
Talk about how it would be better if they had the Golden Girls dialogue over it. So I interrupted you. Like a professional podcast guest.
No, this podcast is all about interrupting. And so the next scene is when they go to the hospital and they're going to pick up Rose and the nurse, the really rude nurse is like, she had cardiac arrest. Bye.
We're prepping her for surgery. Bye.
Bye. We're going to open up her heart. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Super unprofessional hospital is what we're learning.
Yeah. She's like, well, your fuck boy of a doctor should have told you that.
Yeah,
right. Fuck boy of a doctor. I love it.
So they try to make you think for a moment that Rose passed away. By just because she starts out her line with like, "Oh, I'm so sorry to be the one to tell you," and just like,
So now we're episode two, and that's the nurse scene where the nurse continues to be rude. She's just like, you guys can't come in. Like, you're not family," which I understand that's the law, but like, she can.
She could pretend it.
Chill out, you know.
Is that a law or is it just like the hospital policy? I don't know.
I think it was. Yeah. I think at that moment it was only relatives, and that's why there was that whole. I think this around this time also there was that issue. Like, can the gay partner see person in the hospital? And I think they were kind of touching on that because it is 1992.
I thought that too.
So I was just like, this has a like a political like sub theme kind of.
Yeah, that's nice. It's a nice subtle way for them to do it for middle America is that, you know, the Golden Girls obviously are like family and important to each other. And they if Rose had died and none of the other Golden Girls was able to say goodbye to her, that'd be we talk about that ending of that series still today, though, if they did that. I mean, I'm glad they didn't because these episodes made me cry secretly.
I know. They just ended in a bummer. Like, that would be insane. Yeah.
Just pull the Sopranos where it's like, nope, Rose just passed away. Or, you should stop electing homophobic legislators.
And of course they listened. And America is fine.
Well, because NBC, you know, wouldn't go all the way with killing Rose. So that's why it took so long. Anyway.
This whole series led to that. Oh, rude nurse. Blanche tries to instill the proverb into this scenario.
She's gonna quote the sleep, Bible for the nurse.
Yeah. Nor sleep nor snow, nor dark of night. And then later,
says the postal carrier motto. Yeah. Thinking it's
and
from
then
the
later
Bible.
On she's like, from the halls of Montezuma. Just oh my God. Yeah. And then Sophia's line, She spent, it's the Bibles are the thing that spent more time in hotel rooms than her, or
and she's never
like
read one.
Yeah.
I do love, and she does offer to pass out Gideon Bibles to her daughter and granddaughter. So obviously she's stolen them from hotel rooms, which I thought was a nice little joke.
That's great. Then she says, thou shall not steal, when Sophia steals money from Dorothy's purse.
And then,
you got one, Sophia says. Like, you quoted it correctly here. And then they start singing that song about Rheingold beer.
She tells a really touching story about, like,
Sal.
Who is B. Arthur's? Was B. Arthur's name again?
Dorothy.
Dorothy. About Dorothy's dad dying, and a baby was born probably at that moment that Dorothy was looking at, and the baby's last name was the same name as Sal's favorite beer,
it was the heir to the Rheingold beer estate.
So they're all singing when Rose's daughter walks in, which is why her daughter is so salty to everybody, because she's like, every time she enters, they're singing a song, remembering something about Rose or something.
She was mad that they were in costumes last time.
They were going to like a wolf lamb play or something, or
Rose had written had turned Mary Had a Little Lamb into a musical. She took a playwriting class.
Okay. So Kirsten, who before has been a money hungry, you know, daughter and very superficial, like now she lives an hour away. Like, I didn't know that's crazy. I had no idea. Like, she just shows up. No other children show up or call that we know of.
Yeah, but where's Astrid?
And Miles. Where is Miles this whole episode?
Miles was out of town. Miles. Oh. Yeah, and he can't come back, apparently.
And there's no flights back.
He's hiding from the mob this episode.
He's with Carmen Sandiego someplace. Yeah, I mean, they kind of justify it a little bit by saying that Kirsten asked for Rose to move in with her, and so she resents the other women because
and
she
that's
chose
a lie. That's a lie because because when we look back at the episodes, Rose had nowhere to go after, like, Charlie died. She was kind of on her own, and maybe there was an issue with Kirsten that we don't know of from Rose's perspective. But yeah, she was she met Blanche at the grocery store, looking at the bulletin board, looking for a room for rent, and she really didn't have anyone to go to. So like, Kirsten is just full of shit, dude.
That is plain. It's very obvious.
Or Rose didn't want to live in Sarasota, Florida, which I think is about an hour away.
Yeah, that sounds like sound logic on behalf of someone from St. Olaf. Actually,
Can we talk about
Sarasota? Doesn't sound fun.
No.
Can we talk about Kirsten's hair?
I
was like, the 80s are still alive and well in 1982, because that hair was like newscaster, she had the hair of a fucking swimsuit runway contestant. Like, it was
very
so
working
big.
Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Working girl pre-makeover.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I have a job. In a career.
I felt like either that actress's hair was naturally curly or she had a perm, and maybe they just wanted to signal to the audience that she didn't have her crap together or something, or that she was like rushing from someplace and all harried, because some hairdresser brushed that thing out in the wrong way, because somebody did not use a pick on that thing, and they did not put any moves in it.
She looked like a Thundercat. It was the back went up like I don't know. Yeah.
It was a hot mess.
It was crazy.
definitely a hot mess there, because they just, I don't know, if I was on a network show, I think I would hope that I would have hair that didn't look.
It was a dark time for vaguely mullety hair. Yeah.
Well, you don't brush a perm.
Also, this actress, this actress is a different actress from the first actress.
The other Kirsten?
Yeah, because we see Kirsten episode two. Not episode two, season two, I'm sorry. So this is. We see her in 86, so this is 6 years later. So they had
when
to get
she's
a new
grown
actress
into an entirely different person.
Yeah,
yeah,
a second Kirsten.
Or she's hospital crashing also.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
pretending to be Rose's daughter and nobody notices. Yeah. She studied a yearbook for a week and
she's
got it
combing
done.
The news for who had a heart attack. You could have.
It's all a lie, you guys. It's like Memento or something.
I know.
It's
just
so
whose
many
friendship can I test?
Yeah, didn't you say this
didn't
is all about
remember.
Fraud?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's
and
all about
and
fraud.
You know, at the end of it, she'd be like, "If you were better friends to my mother, you would know that I'm not her daughter." And then she just. You know, pulls out her
if
real
you
identity.
Better friends, you would. Yeah. It just takes off her wig. Yeah.
Maybe you remember what I look like.
The dude, the tarp dude. I don't know, like the tarp dude from the reunion.
She's Myron.
It's Myron.
And that's a bad wig. We've solved it. We've unraveled this entire thing, guys. We've solved the mystery of this Golden Girls episode. So many layers. Well,
but
yeah,
go ahead. No, I was going to move on to the best thing ever.
Well, they just pulled a Bewitched. I always wonder about that, whether or not somebody is just doing another project, or whether there was a big, they just didn't like the other person playing that role. Because who wouldn't want to come on to the end of Golden Girls, unless you've left acting or something?
Right.
Who wouldn't want to reprise...
Or they passed away, or they...
Oh, God,
I don't know,
I hope not.
Something. I don't know. She Carmen Sandiego'd. She took off and started solving, stealing jewelry.
The original Kristen turned to a life of crime after her guest Susan spot Sandiego. On the Golden Girls.
Oh my
God. Can't get her. We lost her to crime.
We lost her to crime. Another sitcom guest star lost to crime, you guys.
Lost to crime.
We do have these geographic clues.
It's a gateway. It's a gateway to geographic crime.
The next scene is like my favorite scene. Like one of my favorite scenes. Let's talk a little bit more like about this. Like, she kind of shames them. Kirsten sort of shames them for like having active lives as older women. Like, yeah. She just wants her mom to fucking just sit in a rocking chair. Like, get over yourself.
Right, you're on the Golden Girls. You should know that that's not a popular opinion in this space. but common, and, but yeah.
And then she's like, the doctor's like, are you guys all related to Rose? And she's like, they're not.
Yeah, I she got am. Super it's bitchy on it, yeah.
So
they make her do things like plays.
That she wrote.
They do plays for children.
Yeah. She's just jealous of the life that her mother has a life without her, and that she's not totally reliant on on giving attention to her daughter.
And her mom doesn't want to go to Sarasota, Florida.
Because it's Sarasota, Florida, guys.
Yeah.
Sarasota. It's so good there.
I hope you don't have any listeners in Sarasota, Florida. I've actually never been there. I've never been there. I'm just talking out of my ass.
I actually never have. And I'm not even sure that's where she's from. But
we're just guessing. We didn't watch Carmen Sandiego. We don't know what's an hour away from Miami. Yeah. Though. But
Sarasota
I have been to
huge...
Delray Beach. Delray Beach is a nightmare. So, yeah.
So they take Kirsten in to see Rose. And they... And Rose, automatically, she's like, where are the girls? I need to see the girls. And, Kirsten's like, my daughters couldn't come. She's like, not your fucking daughters. I'm talking about the fucking people I care about.
Yeah.
And she's totally sedated and just speaking her mind about the fact that she doesn't like her grandchildren.
Yeah. And then she's like, come closer, my child. I need to tell you something. And she's like, Kirsten, live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Foreshadowing. It's foreshadowing to later when she will host
Saturday Night Live.
That was a pretty great joke. Where she's just like, wow, this stuff really packs a wallop.
That was amazing. So when she comes out of surgery, Kirsten's a mess. She's just like, I she didn't look good. I don't know what the fuck to do. And she sits
says
down.
Fuck.
She's like,
Yeah. I don't know.
She's
like, it's
like, I have to take care of her.
How many people you've seen come out of surgery, Kirsten?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And she's like, oh my God, she might actually be a burden to me by needing help.
She does not say that. She can't afford the health care because, again, in the 80s, we didn't have Obamacare. So we had things like, you know, where you might have to choose whether or not you live. So dark times.
I read it as like, I have to actually, you know, drop what I'm doing in my life.
Yeah.
Because I already don't like
Sarasota.
Her.
Sure.
Yeah. And well, have her move in with me. Yeah. And so then everybody's like, well, we're going to take care of her because we actually love her. They didn't say that either. But.
We'll mortgage the house if we have to pay for medical care.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, that's what mortgages are for.
I'm like, you guys don't understand mortgages.
Clue us in. Genevieve, you're a real estate agent. Clue us in on what a mortgage is for. Is it for surgery, physical therapy.
It can be. It can be like it can be like a second loan. Like basically, you can take a you can use your house as collateral, and then you can take it out and you can use it for expenses in your life. It's a little risky, but people do it. So
people do it all the time.
It is kind of it is kind of what it's for, because that house is probably paid off.
Oh yeah,
or or like. I'm trying to remember, like, it was it paid off or mostly paid off? But you can take a second mortgage and you can use it for whatever you... paid.
I think it's all in Blanche's name as of now. As of we know from... Oh. Yeah.
Huh.
From other episodes where they've tried to, like, do something with the mortgage. okay, so they calm her down. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, okay, you guys are legit, like, family, so... Yeah.
Too legit to quit on my mom.
Right. And I'm also an imposter, so...
And I'm also an... And then she just, like, runs out of a window, and she leaves a Kirsten-shaped hole in a window, which was crazy, guys. Like, I was like, wow, that looked real.
Yeah, because then people were like, oh, her hair's shaped weird.
Yeah. And then, yeah, like, then they were like, yeah, why did it break around her hair? And you're like, God, this hairdresser is nuts. Yeah, then she puts on a tiny fedora, and she gets on a scooter, and she just... And then it becomes a spinoff. Kristen on the Run.
Oh, Carmen Sandiego had a scooter, didn't she?
Did she?
Yeah.
I don't know.
She had a scooter, and I feel like she had a
when
boat.
You said that, I just imagined her in a scooter, and I believed it.
Yeah. Okay. Because I'm telling the truth, because all of that is real.
Okay, all of that's real.
Criminals ride scooters, guys.
They're cosmopolitan if they wear shitty fedoras. I'm just kidding. Back in the 80s, kids, fedoras were cool. That's why you shouldn't wear them today. Back then. The 40s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now it's douchebag central to wear them.
Now it's a warning. To other people.
That's a red flag.
No, it's a red flag, yeah.
So
anyway.
So she convinces the doctor to let the Golden Girls come in and see Rose. Yeah. And Sophia does a really sweet thing where she acts like nothing's wrong. She's like, she can hear us. The moment we act like she's dead, she will be. And she starts saying...
Which made me cry. That made me cry, you guys.
It was so sweet. It was the sweetest.
I cried like three times in this episode, and I hate myself for it.
No. Don't hate yourself for it. She's like, Blanche just mad because she wants to use the bed. So sweet. And so, yeah.
The sweetest
slut shaming ever.
I only shame for noble causes.
It does imply that she got that she's getting better and like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You're good enough that you're out of this bed and I'm ready to fuck. So.
And that's when we go, they're like, I wonder where she is. And they go into the dream world of the frozen heads.
So great. I love how they're all heads on platters on the kitchen table. Ice.
Plastic catering. Yeah, platters with a little bit of ice.
Plastic ice around them. And because they made that pact that they would all freeze their heads cryogenically. Mm. And wait for a cure, which there is a place in Scottsdale. Like, Scottsdale's one of the big cryogenic centers, by the way.
Wow.
Of course it's in Scottsdale.
Of course it is.
Of course. Why wouldn't it be? Why would it be any place else except Scottsdale, Arizona?
I have no idea. So people really do freeze their heads?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you have enough money.
Walt Disney did.
Yeah. Did he freeze his... Wouldn't Disney have enough money for his entire body?
I think he did freeze his entire body.
Okay. I hope so. Because I don't want to think about that.
Okay, so what I was confused is that they all died and then they froze themselves. Don't you need to be alive and then freeze yourself?
I think you have to be still living when you freeze yourself. I think it has to be, like, clearly your last moments. There's a... Yeah, I think there was a great article about this woman who died very young. She got a very terminal illness, and she raised money through the internet to have it done. But it's crazy because you have to be like, nope, I'm definitely not going to pull through this. Why don't you freeze my head?
Well, you got to have like an Encino Man situation.
Yes, so. You have to be Brendan Fraser. And you have to just accidentally freeze.
Well, the only place you can unfreeze from cryogenics is Encino. That's the headquarters.
That's the rule. That's why not a lot of people do it. I'm just going to shit on a bunch of places I've never been in my life.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everything I know about Encino is just composites from movies that probably were filmed here.
Yeah, probably. So. They're like, we need a shitty looking place. Phoenix will do.
Encino. Alicia Cooper, friend of the show, lives in Encino.
Oh. I'm sorry, Alicia, if you're listening.
Yeah,
I've been to her house. I've been to her house
in Encino. So you're the one of the three of us that knows about Encino. Is Encino?
I used to drive through there to go to work, and it's. Let me tell you, it's just a town.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's just a town. with lots of people in it.
I should not shit on any location at all because I live in East Mesa, so I have exactly zero
we're
legs
sorry,
to stand on.
Sarasota, Florida. We're sorry. You live in East Mesa. Encino, California.
Yeah. We're sorry. I do it because I'm jealous. I don't live someplace else.
I would have wanted to live
in Encino.
You still
get some heat for cryogenics, but
yeah, you should. But you've earned it.
Yeah.
They're all heads and they're talking to each other. But yet, even though they're only heads, they still turn and look at each other, which I loved so much.
It made no sense. Yeah. They have necks that work.
Full makeup. They still look the same exact age, but it's a dream.
I bet B. Arthur was mad to be crouched over like that for so long.
Right, because she was 104 feet tall and she's on this tiny table. They all must have been like on their knees or something or sitting in an uncomfortable...
They opened up like a platform underneath them
that's true.
Like, they
it was CGI, a green screen.
CGI.
It was state of the art. So much money was spent on the episode on Kristen running through a window and the disembodied heads on the table that were not at all just people standing underneath the table. Yeah. It's great though.
So the way they died was Blanche died in a bathtub having sex with a tennis instructor.
Yeah.
And then
at 92.
At 92.
Yeah.
And then Dorothy died because she leaned over the fence that at the zoo, at the gorilla exhibition.
She seems more logical than that. She seems...
Yeah, I know. She's like, turns out they mean it. Yeah, the zoo like, signs.
There's a reason that sign's there, not to lean over the fence. Maybe in her 90s, she just doesn't trust that zoo officials understand what the public can and can't do.
She's like, I'm 90. Zoo rules don't apply to me.
Fuck it. I'm B. Arthur. I can do whatever I want. I'm Dorothy.
She would have been like 90, 95, I guess, in the show.
Yeah. She's a little older than Blanche.
Yeah, a little bit older than Blanche. And then Sophia... is alive, and they're like, well, she did freeze her head, but they're like, how do you get a body? And she's like, you guys didn't tip the guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she wakes up. And she says, I'm sorry I died.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Ugh.
Yeah. And so, Sophia had the body of a 25-year-old. I think we mentioned that earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then... And so Rose is like, Blanche, I had a dream that you died at 92 having sex, or that you were having sex at 92.
Oh, by the way, Sophia, real quick, she said the thing is that it's now young bodies with old heads.
Yeah, that's the popular thing in that point. She's like, you must be 200 years old.
And the audience was like,
What?
Yeah. Yeah, somebody, I can't remember which golden girl they cut to, but she has this reaction like, oh, that's it disgusting. Was Dorothy.
She just had a shaking like, head kind of moment.
She actually said old heads.
Old heads.
And then Dorothy was like, what about me? And she's like, you met someone that couldn't keep their hands off of you. Yeah. A gorilla. Okay.
Yeah. And they had kind of like a Wizard of Oz reunion moment where they're all around.
Oh, yeah. Very bed. Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
You were and there. Then, you were there.
And so then the next scene, they're back at the house and they have a surprise party for her return. and everyone, but they whisper it. They're like, "Is it? Oh, you think we should yell? No, no." And so she comes in, and they're like, "Surprise
for who?"
And then they go into the kitchen, and then like Sophia's like ducking, and so
yeah.
when she looks up at Rose, it looks like her. It's just her head, like back to that scene of the heads on the ice cubes, and then Rose freaks out and she's like, what, you never seen, I don't know,
what, you never dropped a knife before?
Yeah, yeah, and then she pulls up a knife and she's
and then she stabs
Rose,
and then she stabs Rose in the heart.
She pulls off her mask and she's Carmen Sandiego.
She's Carmen Sandiego.
I'm doing way too many callbacks to Carmen Sandiego. I apologize.
No, not enough.
Not enough.
Not enough.
Okay, 14 more.
So, you guys, Rose doesn't die, and I think we did it. I think that's it. Mary, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Guys. This was so much fun. Yay. Thanks for making me cry with the Golden Girls and teaching me all about Muppet Babies.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to
it's
do so.
It's a good show. If nothing else, I want people to watch Muppet Babies.
I buy it. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Guys have great taste in shows.
I did an entire Muppet Babies podcast the other day, so.
Did you really, or are you just fucking with me?
No, I really did.
There already is a Muppet Babies podcast?
Well, it's a podcast about cartoons, and ours was Muppet Babies. So it was an entire Muppet Babies podcast in that sense.
Wow.
So.
Synergy.
So This comes out, actually, this Wednesday, January 10th. Is there anything you would like to promote, Mary, or where can people find you online if you'd like them to find you? So go ahead. Plugs.
I don't want people to find me online because that scares me. But
don't do it, people.
Don't look for me. You won't find me under my name. No, I'm kidding. I do want to plug, I just started, I am actually, when this comes out, will be my first time teaching solo at the Torch Theater. So, yay.
That's amazing.
I am. Thank you. I know they're putting me in charge of something. It's so weird. And they have a lot of really great instructors there and, great training classes, and usually on Saturday nights I sit in with the foundation of the Torch Theater at 9 p.m. to do a show called The Neighborhood, where we get guest monologists, and they tell true stories from their lives, and we just improvise scenes based off of those stories, and you can come by you can check out the Torch at the Torch Theater .com, I think it is. Yeah, the Torch Theater with an R-E. And then also I'm going to go to San Diego Improv Festival in February.
Carmen San Diego Improv Festival?
I'm going to go to Carmen San Diego's Improv Festival. I'm going to fuck some shit up in fedoras. And
every suggestion is Carmen San Diego.
It's a different place, and we have to tell. You have to point on a map where it is.
You have to figure it out by clues.
Yes. You won't get any of our jokes unless you know all of the places in the world.
You better know what kind of birds they have there.
Can we get a suggestion of a place, place, or place?
Yes, I will be at the Carmen San Diego Improv Festival February 15th at 10 p.m. So if anybody is out there, unless you're from Encino and you want to come out and give me a what for to my face.
It is a long ways.
Okay, good, good. I'm very glad about that. I'm very glad.
That's great. That everything so you're doing at Torch, that's I'm in awe of, because when I was there, the people that were doing what you're doing, I was like, those are great people. And so
you took classes there too, right?
I did. I did improv there for 4 years before I moved out.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah. And Genevieve, where are you going to be and where can people find you?
All right. Well, January 11th, I'm going to be at Barflies. I'm telling a story about my younger self, which all stories are, but, but my much younger self.
That's a great point.
Yeah, it's going to be at Valley Bar at 7:30. So, yeah, I'm really excited about that. And, and then we've got a couple of live shows coming up, as we've mentioned. Our first live show is going to be in Phoenix, and that's January 14th. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be at my house.
Woohoo!
And we have, if you RSVP, you get a little email with my address on it, or you can just ask me. I just don't want to put it on the internet.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and
it's at 2 p.m., right?
Yes, 2 p.m. And we'll have snacks and a costume party. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really fun. Really cool.
And her house is beautiful, you guys. Like, you should definitely come to this.
Thank you. To the house.
And then our second show, we're going to be doing it in L.A. on January 21st. The Treehouse, or I'm sorry, Treehouse at the Clubhouse. So, yes.
All of your shows are at houses.
Yes.
Yeah. It's mandatory.
It's got to have house in the title. Oh my gosh. Yay. That's awesome that you're doing Barflies. That's a great show.
Yeah, I love Barflies.
That's awesome.
Yay.
Yay.
All right. And
what about you, Anthony? What do you have to plug?
Well, the January 10th, I'm going to be at the Fault Line, which is a scary leather bear bar. And so I'll be doing stand up there so I can interrupt men trying to get laid.
In an earthquake themed gay bar.
Yeah, an earthquake themed gay bar.
Seems like a Golden Girls premise.
Yeah,
waiting to happen.
You're a 9 on the Richter scale.
On the Dixter scale.
Oh, there you go. Testing out your material.
What? Oh my God. And then actually January 13th, Everett Byram and Daniel McQueen, we're gonna be at Comedy Off Main Street. And these are actually our guests for our live Thank You for Being a Podcast in Phoenix the next day.
Yay. So cool.
So awesome.
So it's going to be super fun. And then we have confirmed our guests for the LA show at the Clubhouse. And we have...
Oh, yeah. Well, we got to announce our guest.
Yeah. I totally forgot. But we have...
I did too, Maggie obviously. May.
We have Maggie May, who's amazing, from Conan. And we have Valerie Tosi, who's super amazing.
Oh, nice.
And Brian Vokey, who's also really great. And so that's going to be so much fun. Yay.
Oh, yay. Come on. You can't come see it, but I'm dancing here.
Yay. Come out, guys. We worked so hard on this podcast, and we really want to, you know, celebrate like a great thing coming to an end. And so we're officially the first Golden Girls podcast to do the entire show series.
Nice. Oh my gosh, yeah. Congratulations.
We beat those out on the lanai people, apparently, so.
Yeah, because they slack off and they do one episode a month now or whatever. I don't know what they're doing with their lives.
Well, thank you both for being a podcast and for being lovely people. You see, I worked in the title of your podcast and what I said. That's why it's funny.
Yay.
Congratulations on getting through the whole series. So
we did it.
Yay. It's been crazy. All right. So thank you again, Mary, for being on the show. Thank you everyone for listening. Oh, the music is by Brian Korkernak and Mike Dennison for most of this series. So starting season 2. And I'm like acting like it's over. it's not yet. But the next episode that we're going to have is part 1 of the season finale. And that's episode 25 of season 7. That was not confident. Okay, so thank you everyone.
Take two, new choice.
Thank you everyone for listening and have a beautiful day and or night. Goodbye.
Bye.
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken.